Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
It's that time once again for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I am one of your hosts, Adam Beebe, and with me as always is my homie, my BFF, my oldest friend in the world, also the co-host, and the guy who makes us sound good every single week, Barry Johnston.
Oh, how you doing? How's it going?
Doing good, man, doing good. So at the time of this recording, this will come out, you know, just after Halloween, but time of this recording, I just got back from our live event. So I've been traveling and I'm, you know, when I go home to Oklahoma, I'm a go.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I'm always in motion. I got to go try to see as many people as I can. And, you know, and like, you know, I was there 4 days and I was in 5 towns, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't. And also it wasn't just traveling, you know, You're having to deal with stuff too. It was pretty chaotic. It was pretty chaotic for a couple of days anyway.
Yeah. So which we will get into full detail about all of that. Because man, it was something. That whole day was we had the live event, the storytelling event. That was a whole experience on its own, and it warrants its own special episode. Yeah. So we'll be having that coming out in the near future. But glad to be back. Glad to have slept on my own bed. My cats curl up against me, dude.
I was going to say that's the biggest thing. As you become a man, you can, you know, it's harder to travel whenever you're used to the creature comforts of your own home. And the bed is a big one. You just get accustomed to the way that you sleep. And going to someone else's home or sleeping in a hotel, it's just different. It's just different.
Well, you got your bed broken. You got the type of bed that you like. You know, I mean, some people like a stiff bed. Some people like a soft bed. I am a soft bed person. I like to sink into it. So, you know, it's just and trying to get used to a new different bed every night is just, you know, that can wear on you, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, it can. But yeah, you made it back and everything's good. And now we're back and we're rolling and we are into another episode. And we are excited about this one. We are, this is a different one. And this was a tough one for me.
Yeah, it was a nice change to take us out of the spooky season of Halloween. But also, you know, Barry, I'm going to say this, it's also a good one to kind of work us in to our for Thanksgiving. You know, it's kind of because this is very much about family and it's very touching. And our guest this week is old friend of mine who goes by the name of Hammer. And that's not his real name, but that's his nickname, as you guys have probably picked up by listening to several of my old friends talk that we give out nicknames. Although I didn't give Hammer his, I was there, I was present when it was given to him, and he still uses it.
As he should.
So Hammer comes from North Carolina. That's where he's calling in from. And he's got some stories. All of his stories are they're family related. He's got a lot of interesting spiritually kind of things going on in his family. They're not really spiritual, but they've got a lot of activities happening. Some interesting weird things. Yeah. And Hammer is a new father. And he and his wife, they have a little boy named Vincent. And Vincent, as you will hear, was born with a rare medical condition that that Hammer, a.k.a. Josh, sometimes he goes by that name. I think his parents call him that or whatever, but that's what they gave him. But that's not his name. His name's Hammer. But Hammer's going to tell us about that as well. And it's a big, costly medical thing. So we're going to have some links and whatnot for to help them out with their GoFundMe. And if you guys can contribute to that, that will be awesome. Or share or just get the awareness out for this little guy, because he is tough and he is struggling. But he is doing really good, all things considered. So I guess without further ado, let's get to the weirdness. Let's dig in our heels and let's let Hammer let it swing. And Hammer, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Thank you for having me. So I got a couple. So we'll start off. The first one happened when I was about, I want to say 12 years old. We had just moved to North Carolina. And so we moved to North Carolina, I think in June or July. And then Fran hit, which was in August or September, if I remember right. And
Yeah.
Well, the week that Fran hit, we actually got a call right before Fran was supposed to hit that my grandfather in New York was getting ready to pass away from heart failure. Mm-hmm. So we flew up to New York, or I'm sorry, we drove up to New York. And while we're there, we go visit him in the nursing home, and it's pretty much his last days. And I mean, like, the last day. So we go up there and we tell him how much we love him and we miss him. We're going to miss him. And, you know, and then the weirdest thing happened. Like, we all left. Now, mind you, my grandfather was not religious at all. Like, if you spoke of religion or spoke of church, he was like, get it away from me. That's not my thing. I believe in the man upstairs, but I don't want to hear about him, was his philosophy. Mm-hmm. So anyways, so him being like that his whole life. Now, he is he's in a hospital on the sixth floor mm-hmm. of the hospital, because that's where the heart is at the heart place is in that hospital. Anyways, so he goes and tells us all goodbye. And then he looks at my grandmother as he's getting ready to go to sleep, looks out the window, and he says, Sandy, get those people the hell away from my window. Tell them I'm not ready to go yet.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah. And so my grandma's like, you know, Hank, you're on the sixth floor. There's nobody out there. So she actually opens up the windows. And then my grandpa like starts saying, like getting louder and say, no, tell him to go the hell away. Mm. And my grandfather died that night.
Wow,
man.
That's intense.
Yeah,
that is, dude. I've got goosebumps.
There's a lot, you know, and there's a lot of stories that pertain to opening the window in the room when you pass. Yeah. To let the soul out or whatever. Wow, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah, it was definitely pretty wild.
I've told a little bit of this before, but I was in the room when my grandfather passed away, and it was life changing. I don't know if you had that experience or not, but being around that is very different than what you think. When someone's going to pass, there's a series of things that sort of happen that hospice has been very good at explaining, and they put into their literature and stuff. And
yeah,
you know, when something like that happens and he's seeing something like that, man, it's so revealing in a lot of ways. Especially a man like him you're talking about that didn't necessarily want to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that brings me to my next one. This one is kind of dark. So I was fresh out of college. I think I was like 22, and I was hanging out with my friend Candy. And, you know, I would hang out there till like 2-3 in the morning, just at her house watching anime, and then I'd go home. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell that one, then I'll go back to the other one. So I'd go over to her house and like, she kept telling me she kept having problems sleeping. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why are you having problems sleeping? And she's like, I don't know. Sometimes I wake up and I just feel this weight on my chest. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay. So then she wakes up in the middle of the night one night and she calls me immediately and she's like kind of sobbing. And I'm just like, oh my God, something bad just happened. Do I need to like jump in my car and go? Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I saw a demon on my chest in the middle of the night and two red beady eyes staring down at me.
Oh my.
And I was like, okay. And I was like, are you okay? You know, what's going on? You know, have you done anything lately to like summon evil spirits or anything? And she's like, no, I haven't. But the next night I go to sleep and on my bed, I hear this loud bang right next to me. And I wake up and I look over for a half a second and there was the two red beady eyes and he did like the Dikembe Mutombo finger wave.
Right.
Like, no, no, no. And then I never saw him again.
Wow.
Whoa. So I don't know what happened with that. I don't know what that meant. The only thing I can think of is that my house back in Arizona, where I used to live, supposedly was next to a graveyard. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I can put with it, because I mean, I watch Evil Dead and stuff, and I know about the Necronomicon, but right. You know, actually seeing, and like I said, I was like 20, 21, somewhere in there. It was right out of college.
Wow.
So,
but you hadn't been. It didn't start at your house, though.
Right. That's it started at her house.
Right.
And now, it was almost like it was trying to tell me, "Don't ask about it." You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, and she never brought it back up. She never once talked about it again, and she actually moved out of that house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if the new owners have problems.
Did you tell her about your experience?
Oh yeah, I did. Oh, okay. I did. Yeah, because I was like, well, you know, if it's a otherly world spirit. So if something happens, there's nothing I can do.
Right.
You know, it's going to happen regardless.
Yeah,
sure.
But I think maybe, and another weird thing about that is, so they had this dog that it was like a corgi, and the corgi would run throughout the house like full speed. However, there was like a partition between the dining room and the kitchen, and then around on the other side it was like the living room and the kitchen. So there was two ways into the kitchen. The dog would never go through the door between the kitchen and the dining room. Ever. Like the dog would like whimper and like run the other way.
Mm. Huh.
So I don't know if maybe it sensed something or something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
It's possible from everything that we've heard, definitely, and that's possible.
And when I mean like the dog was scared, dude, like the dog would pee on itself if you tried to force it through that hole.
Oh, wow.
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 Yeah.
Damn.
So.
Well, the demon... Well, the demon thing, I wanted to address this. That is something that is like definitely repeated throughout history. You hear people talk about that with the weight, the chest, and they feel like they can't move their body, and they will see something, and it's often that demon thing. Some people will have reported as seeing aliens or whatever, and there is a version of this explained away by science called sleep paralysis.
Yep.
It's where you wake up and you can't move your body, mm-hmm. and you know, you feel the heaviness or whatever. But in the sleep paralysis, you know, you don't typically see something. Sometimes you know, this demon thing. I mean, you can go back and you can see there's famous paintings from like the Renaissance era, you know, some sort of 500 years ago that have this creature on, sitting on, you know, a woman's chest. And, you know, it's this demonic looking, creepy little thing that, you know, that's where we get the term nightmare from. That, you know, I mean, that could be, maybe you could say, well, she just had sleep paralysis, except for the fact that you had the same experience the next night. That's a whole other element to it.
Yeah. And when I saw him, it kind of reminded me of like a cross between like a gargoyle and an imp.
Yep.
Mm. And he had wings and I only remember him. Like I said, I saw him for maybe 2 seconds at most. It was long enough for him to wave his finger, and then he was gone.
Wow.
So
that's some creepy shit right there.
Yeah.
For real. For real.
So that brings me to now. I got to go back to the past because I should have told this one first. So when I was 18, I was in a very bad car accident. And in the car accident, someone actually passed away, and it was my girlfriend at the time. We hydroplaned and we got T-boned. So I remember leaving the accident in my brother's ex-wife's car and my mom, and they drove me home. And I got home, and I was in the shower, you know, washing up, and I just wanted, honestly, just to, I didn't care what happened, to be honest. My mom was like, go take a shower, and I was like, okay. So then I get out of the shower, and I go, and I'm just sitting on my bed. And then all of a sudden, this hand reaches over and grabs me. And I look over, and I'm literally flying in the air. And I'm not asleep. I'm flying.
Whoa.
And I look over, and it's my girlfriend.
Whoa.
And she looks up. She looks over at me, and she smiles the biggest smile, and then shakes her head like it's not your time. And next thing I know, I'm back on the bed.
Wow, dude. I've never heard this story before, and I've known you for, you know, at least 10 years.
Yeah.
If not longer than that.
Yeah, actually, there was, before I told you guys this, there's only 4 people that know of this story.
Wow, man.
So, and the reason I'm telling you this story is because of the next story I'm going to tell. And it's just amazing how much, even if you're not religious, seeing what hope can do. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
So that leads me to the big story. So September 2nd, my son was born. His name is Vincent. Vincent, at 12 weeks of the pregnancy, we found out Vincent had a condition called gastroschisis. So gastroschisis is a condition where for all intents and purposes, your stomach lining, your muscles, there is a hole in the lining of your abdomen. And so your intestines, your small intestine, your large intestine, and other organs can seep out through that, and they'll get damaged by the amniotic fluid.
Mm.
Well, they told us that this was the best birth defect that we could ever wish for if we wanted a birth defect, because it has a 95% success rate. Flash forward to 35 weeks. My wife was high pregnancy, so anything after 30 weeks, she had an ultrasound every week to make sure that the baby was okay.
Right.
So 35 weeks, his bowels they were starting to be concerning. Yes, they were out where they weren't supposed to be, but that's just a quick surgery when he's born. It's like having a hernia pretty much.
Right.
So they said it was looking kind of inflamed, and they wanted to keep an eye on it. So 37 weeks, they look very inflamed, like almost doubled in size.
Mm.
So they decided to push his due date up. So she was supposed to be induced on September 8th, and lo and behold, she went into labor on Labor Day.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's born, and so obviously when he's born, he has like his intestines are hanging out, and they immediately take him from us.
Yeah.
And he goes, they do a bunch of tests on him, and they tell us that they're going to take his intestine and they put it in a bag, which is like they call it a silo, but basically it's just a plastic bag. And this is the funny part of it. They put it in a plastic bag. And then there's a beam when a newborn is born that's over the top of it. It's like a machine, and the machine has either light or it has heat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's little gaps in the heater, like little metal bars go across it.
Mm-hmm.
And in modern medicine, they take the silo bag and they hold it up with paper clips and rubber bands. And I'm not kidding.
Wow.
So apparently that gives it the most natural bounce if the kid moves or whatever. So he's sitting there with this bag sticking out of him and all of his intestines. It's probably, they're probably almost a foot out of his body. So it's quite a distance.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then, you know, they tell us they're going to leave it this way and then gravity will naturally make it fall back down into place.
Okay.
Because what it is his body hasn't, his body, when it was developing, it that space wasn't there. So they have to create space, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So so from that, they like 2 days later, his bowels started turning a different color.
Mm.
So they were very pink at first, and now they were starting to turn a brown. Mm. So they're gonna, they were like, we're going to keep an eye on it. We're going to see what's going on. And that was when they did the first surgery. So the first surgery was done. They removed part of his dead bowel because the one that outside the body that got in the fluid had died.
Okay.
So they were like, okay, we'll hook it all back up together and he should be okay. So they do the surgery, they take him back out. And then 3 days later, he's still got what's left in the silo. And I'm sorry, they had put everything back in. And 3 days later, they ran some tests and said things were getting really bad. Like his bowels were almost turning black.
Oh man.
Or necrotic, as they called it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then he had to have an emergency surgery. And you are born with 220 centimeters of small intestine. Vincent now has 5 centimeters left.
Gosh.
Holy shit.
You're also born with however many feet of your small or of your large intestine. Vincent has lost 1/3 of that now.
Oh, man.
So when this happened, I made a post about it on Facebook, and I was like, you know, this is the most important day of mine and my wife's life, because they told us that if he did not survive the surgery, or if there's an organ that connects the large and the small intestine called the duodenum, and if the duodenum does not survive, you can't survive. You can be without... you can be without many, many parts of your small and your large intestine. They just feed you through an IV,
okay,
which is the way Vincent is right now as he's being fed.
Okay.
But that brings me to what happened. So I lost my mom 2 years ago on September 6th. And I'm going to get a little bit religious for my beliefs right now. And these are my beliefs only.
It's fine.
So I believe that when someone dies, they are here until they have a purpose. Meaning, like, they stick around.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I was super depressed that my mom had died. And I think what made it worse was, like, my mom was gone, but I still felt her. And I was like, what are you doing here, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
Like I always felt like she was still looking right over my shoulder. And then my grandma passed away a week before Vincent was born. My grandma had this ability that she shares with me. And that is, deja vu happens to us constantly. And I mean, probably once a month,
okay,
I get deja vu.
Wow.
And so I believe my grandma was born with the gift of visions.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom used to be a social worker for children. She was a case manager. So we called her the baby snatcher because she would go in and she would take bad kids out of bad homes or good kids out of bad homes.
Right,
And, you know, make sure that they're being taken care of and whatnot. And my mom absolutely loved children. She actually had a huge teddy bear collection in her house. And she would take her own personal teddy bears and bring them to the kids if she had to take them out of the house. So... when Vincent has to have this major, major surgery, I am inconsolable. I am literally bawling like a baby, probably the hardest I've ever done. Like, I'm falling asleep crying so hard.
Yeah.
And then I look up, you know, at the ceiling trying to talk to my mom. I'm like, Mom, do your job. That's what she used to joke with me and say that to me all the time. That was her saying is, no matter what you're going through or whatever, do your job.
Mm.
And so I said that to her because I really believe mom's place in the afterlife was to take care of children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I didn't know what was going to happen that night. So I'm laying there kind of half asleep. as I'm finally starting to fall asleep. And then my cell phone lights up because I have a notification, but my eyes don't open. I just hear the sound.
Yeah.
Right.
Next thing I know, I get a vision, like an actual vision. So I'm looking and I'm inside Vincent's body and I'm up above his heart and I'm looking out and I can see a white lab coat to his left. And I couldn't make out the other person next to them. To the right, I see my wife. And I'm assuming the person next to them was my wife's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look down at his stomach, and I see the absolute brightest light I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
And I 100% believe that was my mom healing him. Wow. Because as soon as I woke up, my grandma gave me the gift of the vision, and my grandma, I couldn't feel my grandma anymore.
Mm.
After he was healed from what I saw, I could no longer feel my mom, and I was instantly not sad my mom was gone anymore.
Wow, dude.
Like, my depression for my mom was immediately gone, just like that.
Wow.
Wow.
So, I'm not religious. I'm not, but I believe there's something. There has to be something for all this to happen in my life.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And he recovered and.
He was in at Duke University, and so he had that surgery, and he is now semi-stable, but he's not out of the woods.
Okay.
He has something going on with his liver, and they've actually transported him to Cincinnati.
Okay.
He's at the Children's Hospital there.
Okay.
They are absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I've heard great things. The first day he was there, he had 4 ultrasounds.
Wow.
And just they've got a plan in place. And the doctor looked at us and he was like, you know, we were like, you know, don't BS us. We've been getting so many stories, so many things from Duke. Just tell us what's going on. And pretty much he's just like, well, Vincent's going to go home.
Wow.
And Vincent is my doctor for the next 21 years. And the first time your baby is ever fed, I can't let you feed it because I have to. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, I'm going to feed your baby.
Wow.
Because right now, Vincent can't eat anything orally.
Right.
It all has to go through IV.
Wow.
And the danger with that is with IV, it goes through immediately through your liver. And
Okay.
So that's why his liver having a little bit of issues is so important. So, so you guys said I could talk about it. So,
yeah, of course,
for the listeners, there is a GoFundMe set up right now for Vincent Hayes. So Adam and I actually had this idea where, I would give him a picture and he would turn my son into a superhero through painting. Vincent is my little superhero. I love him to death. And we kind of took that, a superhero and the Hobbit, and we put it together. So the name of his GoFundMe is The Brave NICU Adventures of V-Man. Because we call him V-Man.
Yeah.
So the website is GoFundMe.com/F as in Fox/ And then it's all one word. In between every word is a dash. It's The Brave NICU-Adventures-of-V-Man.
Cool.
So if anybody would, you know, if you don't donate, please just share it.
Because
for his condition, with a normal condition, is through trying to feed them and trying to get the kid back normal. The average cost is $125,000.
Yeah. I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
And so our estimation, based upon what the doctors have told us and Vincent having to have a couple more surgeries, actually it's about 5 or 7.
Mm.
They told us we're looking at about 250.
Yeah.
So anything helps at this point.
Yeah.
I mean,
of course.
Not only helping me with his medical bills, it's also for me to fly back and forth to Cincinnati because him and Celeste are both there, so I can't see him.
Sure.
So.
And I've got to say this about hammer here about Josh. Josh is one of the most honest people, hardworking people, good people that you're going to meet. And he's never been somebody to ask for, you know, for help. He's never been somebody who asked for, you know, any kind of thing like this. So it's really, it's a big thing. It's really touching to me. I'm like, actually, I'm a little teary eyed here.
Yeah.
And if you can help out in any way, please do. Cause you know, he's good people and he's going to be a great dad. And V-Man's going to be a great kid. And, you know, I just, it'd be fantastic if you can't. If you can't help, you know, try to spread it around. Check on, I'm sure there's a Facebook page or something that you can do. But, you know, help out if you can. Spread the word if you can't, you know, if it's just not a good time for it. But just, you know, and send your good vibes and your prayers and your thoughts and all that to help little Vincent get better and all that good stuff. So
yeah, there is a Facebook page for it. I think it's also, if you give me just a second, I could probably find it. It's also the Brave NICU Adventures of V-Man. So okay. it's the same thing on Facebook. The Facebook page actually has a link to the GoFundMe. Cool. And vice versa. So
yeah, that's
good.
Great
deal.
Good.
So
wow, thank you, man. Thank you for sharing
all right,
that story.
Man.
Yeah,
no problem. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. This was fun. I like sharing. You know, I'll say I like sharing stories with friends, but these I felt like people should hear.
Yeah,
you know, man.
Yeah.
So
people really connect to what we're doing, and it's because of the honesty that that were, you know, that the stories and people like yourself that come on and share this stuff. And
yeah,
and sometimes it's real personal and it's real, this is a real thing. And I not to speak for anyone else, but you know, I have a strong belief in a spiritual connectedness as well. I know enough to know that I don't know, and I've experienced some things, and this kind of stuff, it's especially with a child.
Yeah.
It is very hard to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have all the faith in the world that things are going to work out for the best.
Absolutely.
Man.
You know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Well, Hammer, we appreciate you coming on and sharing that. I mean, all of that.
No problem, man. It is my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll help out any way we can, man.
Yep.
Thank you. And just remember, hashtag V-Man Strong.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us, make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience, we can have more friends, we can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story. We thought we'd finished talking to Josh, or hearing stories at least, at that point that where we just stopped there. But we ended up talking just some more off mic, as it were, off air. And that led into some more stories. So for the following is part two, I guess. Is that what you call it, Barry?
Yeah.
Just continuing the conversation,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, continued. You know, people's experiences are their personal experience, and there's no one that is going to tell you, you know, that something that you've experienced isn't real when you know that what you've experienced is real, you know, and the messages you're getting from your mom and your grandmother, it's like, you can't ignore that stuff, man. You just can't.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I am wondering, like, if I'm ever going to have deja vu again since Grandma's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, was she, like, the connection on Earth that I needed to have that? Or is that just going to be one of those things that just comes when I absolutely need it?
Right.
Because I've seen other things, too. I should have mentioned this, but I actually saw the date of...
I'm recording. Okay, go ahead. Okay.
So I, in a dream that I had one time for deja vu, I remember just seeing the date of the 17th. I don't know what month. I just saw this date. And the day that we actually found out Vincent, we were going to have Vincent, it was the 17th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so wow. It's like a little connections like that. Like, I can't place them. They're just so awesome when they happen.
Yeah.
And but then they're really frustrating too. They're like, why can't I do this with other stuff? You know, right. It's like, why can't I remember where my keys are at?
Yeah, no sure. Yeah.
Why can't I see the lotto numbers? All
right. Oh man, yeah, that's true. But yeah, that's cool that you can. You know. Part of it is making the connection. I think that's part of the lesson too, is like seeing everything come together. We interviewed Ori, another one of Adam's friends, and she has some crazy stories, man. And it's about her living in a home that she basically grew up with in that her grandmother and her grandfather owned, and it's just amazing. The stuff that she experiences is incredible. But it's crazy, man. Like, we've talked to so many people that have these experiences, you know, and Adam and I never have any experiences like this. We wish we could, but we just haven't had anything. But when we talk to people that have had these crazy experiences, man, it's just like so eye opening. And it's, I don't discard anything that people have really, you know, tussled with and have experiences with. It's just, we don't know enough.
Yeah,
you know,
how are you from Oklahoma and go back there sometimes and not see anything crazy?
Oh no,
we do. there is some crazy shit that happens.
No, I haven't seen any ghosts or anything like that. But I mean, now we both have seen UFOs, and you'll get to that at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I haven't seen any ghosts or anything, you know, weird like that. And I'm totally fine without seeing ghosts. I don't know. Going to see ghosts or demons or anything like that.
I don't have a Halloween story. And I know it's early, but I got a Christmas story for you.
Hey, dude, we'll save it, man. That's totally cool.
Yeah.
All right. So I lived in Iceland for two years. Actually, almost 3 years. And over in Iceland, they are super, super, super naturally religious. Mm-hmm. Like, they believe in water nymphs and fairies and all that kind of stuff. Now, mind you, when I lived there, it was the early 80s to, late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So things were different back in that age.
Mm-hmm.
There was no political correctness and all that stuff. And the reason I know this is because there was this guy that me and my brother used to hang out with that was named George. And all of us decided to go to the geysers because there's 3 natural geysers in Iceland. And, I mean, they're not Yellowstone big, but they're still pretty good size.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And right behind it is the Blue Lagoon, the legendary Blue Lagoon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there are signs written in Icelandic around the Blue Lagoon. Of course, I'm American. I can't read it, so they translate it for me. I won't say American. That sounded bad. I don't speak English, so...
I only speak English,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, I think saying American is spot on with that. And you put the cherry on top with that explanation. So,
there's signs all around it, and there are military police that are Icelandic, and there are Icelandic soldiers everywhere around the Blue Lagoon. And I mean fully automatic M16s, okay, or whatever they are, the M4s, whatever.
Right.
And I go get in the Blue Lagoon. I'm a kid. I'm like, woo, let's go. You know, I start beelining for it. And then I stop because my dad screams at me, stop. George does not stop. He beelines it. He gets about 2 feet from it. And like 2 guys point their guns like right at him.
Okay, now was George okay? So you were there because your dad was there.
My dad was Air Force, yeah.
Right. So, okay. So was George also an Air Force kid?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Yes, he was. And so he runs, you know, he's like, I mean, like full speed, hauling ass, and then just comes to a dead stop because they're, like I said, they're pointing these guns right at him. And then, of course, an Icelandic person runs over and he goes, no, you can't go by there. And George is like, what do you mean? And he's like, this is sacred ground.
Wow.
Unless you go and you wash up, because they have a bathhouse right there, unless they actually see you washing up, they believe that you're going to taint the water nymphs and the fairies' sacred ground. And they are dead serious. Like, they would have killed him. Even as a child, they would not have cared.
Wow.
So this gets to the part where it's a Christmas story. So that happens. And then, like, 2 days later, the 13 days of Christmas start.
Okay.
And the reason it's 13 days of Christmas, Iceland doesn't believe in Santa Claus.
Okay.
They believe in the 13 trolls of Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Very Sinterklaas of an idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember all of their names, but I do remember one was Potlicker.
Yeah.
And if you didn't eat all of your food, Potlicker would come by and you would be starving for a week.
Right.
Then there was... I can't remember many of them, but the one you didn't want to come by was Door Slammer. Because every day you would get one gift. And the way you got a gift is if the troll didn't show up, that meant you were good. So you know, and the different trolls represented different things of the year. Like Potlicker was if you know, ate all your food while you were at the table and you weren't wasteful and other ones like that. Let me try to see if I can find the others. Cause I do remember some of the tale.
One thing that while you're looking that up, I'll talk about this is that, Iceland is very much where they, embrace, they do have the natural spiritual world that they have. That's from their, you know, old tradition, pre-Christian traditions, but they do also have some, you know, Christian beliefs because they also were colonized, you know, because I mean, Iceland is from, you know, the Vikings, right? But in Iceland, they are known to, if they come upon a giant stone and they're trying to build a road, they will go around it.
Yep.
They will take the road and go around it, plan around this stone. They won't move it like we would here or dynamite it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They will just go around it because gnomes live, you know, like I think it's gnomes. Gnomes live in the stones and the little people like that. They don't mess with it. They don't. You know, I mean, even if it's a, you know, if they don't take the tradition seriously, they're various, or like the stories and the creatures seriously, they're very serious about the tradition of it. So,
gotcha.
So, yeah. Okay. So it's,
yeah. Wow.
So I got the list now. So it's like, so the ones that I remember from being I mean, obviously we had all the trolls. But the ones that I remember, there was Sausage Swiper, which was kind of like, I guess, you know, Swiper, no swiping. And that's what you do. Is he would.
It's not swipe left, swipe. It's swipe right, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, oh, there's Hammer. Sausage Swipe right. But
but from what I remember of him was, like, if they wanted you to have, like, local food, like, you know, stuff that was there. And a lot of times with the military, it was stuff that was flown in. That's why it was always super expensive. Like a McDonald's hamburger, for instance, in Iceland would probably run you like $12.
Wow.
Like, it's just that expensive. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's the case, but that was just an example.
Sure.
Like, gas is super expensive over there and all that. But so Sausage Swiper would come out, and if you left meat out to unthaw during the 13 days of Christmas, he would steal it. I was actually wrong earlier. It was not Potlicker that would do that for the stuff not being eaten all the way. That was Bowl Licker.
Okay. Bowl Licker.
And then Potlicker would be if your family didn't eat all the food and you let it go to waste.
Okay.
But the one that my dad was notorious for was Door Slammer. So we would get all of our gifts and we thought we were being good. And then we were sleeping, and then all of a sudden, we heard the door just slam just as loud as it could. And we were dead asleep, and we were like running downstairs. We're like, our toys. Never found door slammer. But my dad did it both years that we were there.
That's great.
And how old were you at this time?
Let's see. I was probably 8 to 10, okay, probably. Yeah.
Perfect. So you're right at the end of that.
That's great.
That young man, that's fantastic, dude.
Yeah. And it was, I think that whole, I would say mythological with Santa Claus and all that honestly for me lasted probably until I was 13, 14.
Okay.
Because when I moved back to Arizona, that's when other kids were just like, you know, they knew I didn't. Right. I remember the day I found out.
What are you talking about?
Talking about the Easter Bunny not being real.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that.
But
what are you saying about Santa?
He's real.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously.
Look, have you seen my dad? My dad is Santa Claus, all right?
Have you seen me, man? I'm young Santa Claus.
That's true.
I'm getting more white hairs, dude. I can't wait. My beard is going to be white, dude. I can't wait. And when it goes all full white, man, my retirement is going to be just being Santa Claus.
There you go.
All right. You got your phone next to you, Beats?
Yeah, dude.
All right, I'm going to send you a picture of my dad that I took like 2 days ago.
Okay.
And you're going to be like, yep, that's Santa Claus.
But obviously not the real Santa Claus. Because
or is he?
He's at the North Pole, so.
All right, it's sending if Verizon ever comes through.
Yeah.
So. Let's see. Halloween. Do I really have any Halloween stories?
Where did you grow up for Halloween? Oh, yeah, that is.
Yeah. I wasn't kidding.
He's a skinny Santa Claus, though, so, yeah.
That was, yeah, before he had his heart attack, he was like, yeah, like 220 pounds, 230 pounds, and probably 50 of it was in his gut.
Still skinny in my book, man.
So where I grew up is kind of a hard question. Because you got to pick a year.
Right, right.
So, Arizona from probably 2 to 4. And then 4 to 6 was New Mexico. And then it was back to Arizona. So, it was kind of... And then it was Iceland. Then it was back to New Mexico. Then it was back to Arizona. And then it was here.
Well, how about... did you celebrate Halloween in Iceland? And was it any kind of different than, like, you know?
See, that's the thing, is I don't remember Halloween.
Right.
But I do remember it was kind of like Japan in the sense that they had this giant kite festival.
Okay. Huh.
So, and it's actually a story with that. So I was, this is not a natural story. This is just me being a dumb kid.
That's so. Okay. Cool. I love those too.
So during the kite festival, I wanted this dragon kite. And I mean, this thing was probably 2 feet tall. I mean, their kites were huge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm, you know, at the time, maybe 65 pounds. And so I'm like trying to hold this kite up in the air. I get it up in the air and it's a very, very windy day. So it like almost takes me off the ground. And of course, my dad's like screaming at me, let go. So I let it go. And there goes my kite, like, you know, down into the middle of town. So I go chasing after it, and I'm not listening to my dad. I'm worried about my dragon kite.
Right. Priority, Dad.
Yeah. So my dad at the time was trying to help my brother, because my brother's kite had actually, because the wind was so bad, the tie of it, the actual kite tail, mm-hmm. had wrapped around my brother's leg, and he was worried about it cutting off circulation.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so my mom and him were helping each other, you know, trying to get it off. And they're, you know, I guess they assumed that when my kite flew away, I was just going to stand there until they were gone. I ended up being lost in Iceland, not able to speak Icelandic for like probably 6 hours.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because I like ran after my kite. So I was like in the middle of the village and everything.
Oh, man.
And it's like the only reason that, like, I ended up being safe is because I knew where George lived. I ran to George's parents' house.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
So,
wow.
Like, if I had not known where they lived or if we had not met them, They'd probably still be looking for me.
Yeah, wow.
Now, you'd be speaking in an Icelandic accent by now, dude.
I'm pretty sure the military police would have stepped in.
Wow. That's cool.
That is cool, man.
Yeah, I don't really have any Halloween stories. The reason being is a lot of Halloweens I was sick. It actually became a tradition for like 4 years in a row. Like I had pink eye 1 year, and then I had strep throat, and then I had what's the other thing?
Elephantitis.
Tonsillitis.
Oh, tonsillitis.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So like
the other itis.
It was like 3 years in a row I didn't go.
Yeah, I think I was sick for one of the prime Halloween years, too. So that's always a bummer, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. As you know, when I got older, that's when Halloween got fun because all my bonfire parties.
Oh, true, true. Yeah. Yeah. Adult Halloween parties are also a lot of fun, man. Yeah. The costumes and, you know, the revelry and.
So most people have like little bonfires where they throw pallets on there. At my bonfires and Marcus's bonfires, we burn couches and mattresses.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great.
That's cool. Far out in the country, you know, so you had the big, and they didn't have terrible wind. You know, that was one of the things in Oklahoma. We had to be very careful about having too big of a fire when you're out in the country. Is because the wind will come up and pick it up and it'll spread that really badly. So yeah.
We were worried at Garland's Memorial.
Yeah.
But did you ever see that video?
I'm sure I did.
So when we started that bonfire, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm. The couch, we put three couches in like a triangle, and then we set a recliner up on top.
Yeah.
And I remember that when we started that bonfire and with all the pallets and everything else around it, that bonfire was so black, the sky turned dark. Like when I'm recording on the camera that I have, it looks like it's like 10 o'clock at night and there's stars everywhere. And Marcus is over there with this little fire hose and they're like, are you doing all right? And like the flame's like taller than the house. And he's like, I feel like I'm pissing on this thing. It's not doing anything. He's like, I don't think his brother Pete the whole time is like, they are so calling the fire department on us.
Right.
One of the things I do remember is your brother would put on his fire suit, his fire department volunteer suit or whatever it was, and just would be just waiting for the minute that thing got a little bit too much. And so I'm just walking around it, patrolling the bonfire in his fireman suit.
Barry, I wish you could meet my brother. Cause ask Adam, my brother needs his own reality show.
Yeah. Awesome, man.
It would be like Duck Dynasty meets like Honey Boo Boo or something.
Right.
It's a trip, man.
That's great.
His brother's trip.
That's great.
For sure. And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone and there was a policeman on the other side. And he said, we've tracked the phone call and it's coming from inside the house.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane. But there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV and she turns them around and their face has SpaghettiOs.
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy? Oh,
the hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they start off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere. Man, that was a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and yes. I've known Hammer for over 10 years now, for sure, easily. You know, he used to hang out at my shop when I had the comic shop and all that, man. And, you know, we used to go for Taco Tuesdays, a whole group of us. every week pretty much for a 2-3 year period there. We'd all go and get Mexican there on Tuesdays, but I had not heard any of those stories.
Wow, man. Wow.
You know?
Yeah, they were good. They were great. I mean, the story about the sighting of the demon that he shared with his girlfriend was pretty nuts.
Yeah.
That was pretty nuts, man. You don't hear many of those.
We don't, for sure. No.
And that's freaky stuff. Yeah. Freaky.
The story about, it's with his family and his grandfather to start it off when he saw all the people outside, of the window that was so many stories off the ground.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because, when my dad was passing away, when he was dying, he would have good days and bad days, mainly because he had a lot of medicine for pain. But I remember one time he was very, I guess, kind of doped up, and he kept saying to us, he's like, "Get that dog out of here! Get that dog out of here!" When he was in the hospital, and I don't know if maybe he saw a ghost dog or some kind of spirit or something like that, you know? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. And maybe he was just, heavily medicated and saw a dog, but...
Could have. You never know. You hear that about folks that pass away. They talk about opening the window.
Yeah.
We touched on that a little bit. And that's curious that's how that story, to me, that's kind of how that came off, was that... Mm-hmm. He was being invited to leave, and anyone that's been in the presence of someone who's dying, there is there's some stuff happening. If you pay attention, I think that you can see or feel that there's something happening there. So I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that even makes sense to other folks, but to me, that makes sense. That story makes sense because of what I've seen. So, crazy, crazy stuff. Yeah.
But, and all his stories with his family, with this connection to his mother and grandmother.
Yeah.
And how they have that kind of that, his gift is that spiritual awareness or connection or whatever. That's a beautiful
thing. Real.
It is, and how he gets hope out of that, from them, they had their job to do, and their final job was to help his little guy out.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I loved all the stories about him growing up in Iceland, or the time he spent in Iceland as a little kid. Man, that is just so cool. Mm-hmm. And it's
Iceland's one of those countries I never went to, and I really would like to. I really would like to go there.
Me too. Well, maybe we'll at some point in the future we'll take a What's Your Weird Story trip up there.
Oh, that'd
everybody
be great.
Everybody goes to Iceland and we can go looking for gnomes and trolls and stuff.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
That would be a lot of fun, dude. Yeah. At least go to but we'll not go to the Black Lagoon and not swim in it without cleaning ourselves first.
100%. But it just kind of shows you that from different parts of the world, people have these things that they hold on to, these spiritual or these just sort of folklore beliefs that they hold on to, and it's a real part of their culture, and it's your responsibility to take those things seriously and do your homework a little bit when you go travel. See kind of the customs, see how the people live, and try to respect that as much as you can, because you don't want to wind up in that kind of a situation.
Yeah, exactly. You want to go somewhere and you want to do your best to blend in.
Right.
That's the best way to really experience it. Yeah. Learn about the local customs and the culture a little bit, and then you can talk to people and really get, the realness out of them and not just the touristy stuff.
That's right.
You can do all the touristy stuff, but it's like talking to the people and connecting to people and sharing stories like we do.
Right.
That's how you really get to know people, and that's how you really get to know a culture, and that's how you really get to experience the world, and experience how somebody else sees the world. And that's
right.
Wow. Makes me want to do some more traveling. I take that back. I just got home. I want to stick around for a day or two.
Yeah, absolutely. But in the meantime, those of you that are looking to travel, if you could help him out a little bit by donating to his cause for his little guy, V-Man, that'd be amazing.
You can go to the GoFundMe.com and you can look up, it's The Brave NICU Adventures of V-Man, that's V-Man. And I'm sure you just type all that in and it'll pop up, and it's helping to take care of, it's helping with the bills, it's helping with the travel for Josh to go and, you know, take time off from work and go up to be with his wife and his little boy, because, you know, she's there and there's here in Cincinnati. And that's the great thing, at least, because this is a really great, you know, the Children's Hospital here in Cincinnati is really fantastic. So they're very good, very fortunate. And I was even able to have lunch with them a couple weeks back.
Great.
So when he was here, and so, you know, and Vincent was, I got a good health report, you know, a good report about a little V-Man coming along. So we just want to, you know, help and spread the word. If you can't donate, go on there and spread the word. Go, there's a Facebook page. It's also the Brave NICU, NICU is what he says, but the NICU Adventures of V-Man. If you can't support financially, you know, send him good vibes and thoughts and prayers and all that stuff. He's a little fighter, you know, he's a scrappy little guy, and he's a fighter, and he is fighting, and he's going to win, but, you know, it's just going to take a lot, and it's not going to be just, you know, this month or even this year or you know, even, you know, the next couple years. It's going to be a while for them to, because they're going to take a big financial hit, but, you know, it's you know, it's worth it, of course, you know, because it sees their guy. So so you guys can help out, we would appreciate it, but more importantly, they would appreciate it, and little V-Man would, you know, he'll really appreciate it too. So thanks for listening, guys. We hope that you had a good Halloween season, and now we're gearing up for Thanksgiving and the end of the year, and Christmas and all that good end of the year stuff. We thank you guys for being here and for always tuning in and for sharing about the podcast and all of that stuff and sharing all your stories. And, you know, we, as always, we can't do it without you. And we, you know, we appreciate all the support, and we want to hear your stories, you know, so Barry, smooth that out. Make me sound not so rambly, and we'll get it together next week or two. So
Yes, done.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Be safe.
Be weird.
All right, so since we spoke to Hammer originally and recorded everything for this episode, I actually had dinner with Hammer and his wife here in Cincinnati at my local favorite taco place. But also, there's been an update on V-Man Vincent's condition. So I just got this just last week. So Vincent's surgery was a success. He had a tube inserted into his liver, and this will allow it to drain. This will save his life. His liver was actually worse off than we knew. This is a text I got from Josh, by the way, from Hammer, just cool. So people don't get confused.
Yeah.
So that's good on the kind of downside, but not so terrible. He goes on to say his intestines did not fare so well. They are not going to be able to hook things back up. So he has too little of it left right now. So they're probably going to feed him via fluids till he's at least 5. And then they maybe will have an option for transplant for nutrition intake. So that's going to be rough, man. That's going to be a long time where he's going to, you know, I mean, he's going to have to eat liquids to, you know, till he's a toddler, past a toddler, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, with the modern day medicine, I feel like he's got a pretty good chance, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a miracle that they were able to work with what they had.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
We're definitely pulling for you guys, and wish you guys the best.
Yeah, and he'll be the word is that he should be able to go back home in 4 to 6 weeks. So we're really hoping for that. So cool. All right. Well, thanks again, Hammer. We're glad to hear that things are having a good, you know, turnout. We know it's going to be a long, tough fight, but we know all of you guys are strong and tough, and especially little V man. So, thanks again. As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.
So was like the movie Footloose like based upon Oklahoma?
It was Nebraska, actually, but yes, it could very well have been.